Years ago, a young man was buying a shirt in a department store. The shirt label said, shrink resistant. He asked the clerk what that meant. The clerk said, the label means that the shirt will shrink, but it doesn't want to. So apparently the shirt has a mind of its own, but lacks the ability to prevent itself from shrinking when washed. Makes perfect sense, doesn't it? I wish my shirts could tell me they are not just wrinkle-resistant, but wrinkle-free, that they would fight with all their might the encroachment of all nasty wrinkles. But alas, no such luck. If only these newfangled AI-enabled robots that can actually perform household tasks like iron clothes will come down in price enough that ordinary people could afford them. Yes, a Norwegian company has begun marketing such a humanoid robot that will do household tasks that it is asked to do using its speech recognition ability. The article telling about it didn't mention a price, which undoubtedly means only the uber wealthy can afford it at this point. Yes, most of us carry devices that can recognize our words, transcribe them into written messages and documents, or perform certain commands. They can save a lot of time and tedious effort, so we can avoid having to manually type things out or handwrite things. Truly, our words don't actually carry any meaning or accomplish any purpose until they are spoken or written down. If we only think things, well, it may affect ourselves inwardly in some way or other, but there won't be any direct effect on anyone or anything else. Our words, when written, can be seen by others, and it is at that point that those words take on a life of their own. Or, when our words are spoken audibly and are heard by someone else, or even just the earth around us, they carry a power and authority that we seldom realize, let alone appreciate. Now, what do we consider important words today? Some people might assert that the words important people say are worthy to be heard, read, obeyed, or otherwise reacted to. Supposedly, the most important person in our nation today is also supposed to be the most powerful man in the world. He goes by the name of Joe Biden. Yet, because of all his frailties in advancing age, his words are sometimes so garbled that not only can no one understand them, they elicit sympathy, mocking, and derision. But that's assuming that what he's trying to say has any real meaning in the first place, or contains any truth at all. Regardless of whether what's being said is true or not, when words are perceived to be clear and unambiguous, they do carry great weight, for good or for ill. Truly, our words have great import. But as weighty as our human words can be, they are as nothing compared to the Word of God. What is the Word of God? Or rather, what is He? John 1:1 tells us that the Word of God is the Son of God, the Son of Man. God has spoken many things and many times. And while we have the words of God written in the Holy Bible, the Ten Commandments written by God's own hand, no less, God's word is not just words. The Passion Translation renders the famous description of God's word in Hebrews 4:12, "For we have the living Word of God, which is full of energy like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and secret motives of our hearts. Truly, the Word of God is life-giving and alive. It is not just alive. God's Word is a person, the Son of the living God, who is only a Son in that He is separate and distinct from the Father, but of one being with the Father and Holy Spirit. When God speaks, it is Christ Jesus who manifests, who appears. Recall how the Lord Jesus appeared to Peter, James, and John at his transfiguration. He essentially transformed into a white flame of fire, visible yet as a person, but unearthly and supernaturally glowing and radiating life and light, almost as if he was burning, like the burning bush that would not burn up, that Moses first saw when God first commissioned him to lead the Hebrews to freedom out of Egypt. We just read in Exodus 34 how God personally inscribed the 10 essential commandments into the stone tablets that Moses had carried up the mountain. Earlier in Exodus 19, God descended on Mount Sinai in living flames of fire, billowing clouds of smoke, and thunderings. God's words were literally visible. Each word was like a living, breathing flame that appeared, moving about as if it had a life of its own, which it did, and continues to have to this day and for all eternity. Pulsating with life energy, with waves like thunderous tsunamis striking everything on and around the mountain, but without water, without air. This was and is the presence of God. And so it was when Father God revealed himself separately from his physical word, Lord Jesus, standing on the mountain, again with Moses, and now also with Elijah, as Peter, James, and John stood speechless. Well, all except for Peter, who never seemed to lack a word, however incoherent and inappropriate it might be. Here, and at the baptism of the Lord in the Jordan by John the Baptist, who was ministering in the same spiritual anointing that Elijah had when he had walked the earth, Father God deems to open his mouth and speak. The Bible says that it was like thunder. Recall, too, what it was like when Saul, accosted on the road to Damascus, froze in place and heard Lord Jesus speaking to him. While the Lord's words carried meaning directly into the very being of Saul, beginning to transform into the Apostle Paul, only Saul understood what was being imparted, the meaning and instructions that would forever change his life and the entire world. And what did Saul's deputies hear? They heard a voice, and that voice took shape, incarnated as it were, and rendered Saul blinded and humbled, and at that instant forever repentant of how he had persecuted Lord Jesus' precious church, even taking the lives of some of the Lord's treasured lambs. Recall also, just a few short years earlier, the scene in Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, the Feast of Shavuot, the birthday of the church, and the anniversary of Moses receiving the commandments of God on Mount Sinai. Now, in Jerusalem, suddenly there was the sound of a mighty rushing wind. But there was no wind. And then they saw these flames of fire that had divided from an ethereal, unearthly burning flame that did not burn anything nor produce any heat. And as these little living flames descended upon all the 120 disciples gathered for prayer in that upper room, they began speaking in all the known languages of earth, telling of the glories of God and his salvation in the living Word of God, who walked about as the crucified and now resurrected and forever living Christ Jesus. Why, this was the exact reversal of the Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. And it was also a reenactment of the birth of Israel. For it was when the people gathered around Mount Sinai and received God's law that they became a true nation. And now at Pentecost, some 1,500 years later, on the very day, God gave himself the Word, the Spirit, the life, the flame, the voice to the disciples praying there. And suddenly, just like that, they became the church. The Word of God, which cannot be separated from God, for he is the Word, he is his Word, incarnates the meaning, incarnates what it says, initiates and becomes the work. In Genesis 1, God spoke the world into being. Christ Jesus, as the Son of God, manifested, and as in a woefully inadequate metaphor, like an orchestra conductor, directed Holy Spirit to bring forth out of nothing physical light, heat, water, all matter and all living things. And lastly, on the sixth day of creation, the pinnacle of God's creations, us. We human beings, made in God's very own image, were created to be the objects of God's love and to care for and govern this physical creation. Since God's Word is himself, our words, in a microscopic way in comparison to his, also carry immense weight and authority and meaning. For we and they all come from God's very being. In the same general way as with God himself, our own words bear the power to bring forth exactly what we are saying. We bring forth good works by our good words. Our words are far more powerful and monumental than we can imagine. We speak flippantly in our total ignorance. Indeed, our words are not just sounds, but in the spiritual realm can also be seen, for they have substance. Karen, the wife of a pastor friend of mine many years ago, actually saw the words of an irate woman in a Walmart parking lot in St. Anne. This angry woman was cussing out someone, and her words manifested as the most ugly, almost vomit-like substance around her. Only Karen saw the words, which were so ugly she nearly became ill herself. Remember that our words don't just evaporate into thin air. They are visible in the spirit realm and can be ugly or beautiful. Praise and worship and expressions of love are the most beautiful. Think of that when you next open your mouth. And for heaven's sake, never take the Lord's name in vain. Let us pray. Father God, your being, your word, yourself is so far beyond our ability to conceive. But yet, in these last days, as you are opening up more and more of the spirit realm to our understanding, Help us to understand what we've heard today about your word, about your being, and about our words, and how our mouths have such power and authority in this earth. Help us to speak beautiful things to the world and to the people around us. For Jesus' sake, amen.